Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Well, thanks so much for joining me once again. At this time last week, Benedict XVI was on a pastoral journey to the United States. And one of the many appointments on his agenda on Thursday, April the 17th, was his address to Catholic educators at the Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., a special moment when the many hundreds of educators gathered around him had the feeling he really understood their challenges, as he himself mentioned, quoting his own days as professor.
I know from my own days as a professor, and I have heard from your bishops and officials of the Congregation for Catholic Education, that the reputation of Catholic institutes of learning in this country is largely due to yourselves and your predecessors.
Highlighting how aware he was of their problems and dedication.
Your selfless contributions, from outstanding research to the dedication of those working in inner-city schools, serve both your country and the Church.
As you just heard, the Pope spoke softly, reading his text as prepared. His words were interrupted twice with applause, first when he expressed profound gratitude for the educators' work.
For this, I express my profound gratitude.
And a round of applause went up also when he implored them to continue efforts in reaching out to those in poorer areas of society.
I wish to make a special appeal to religious brothers, sisters and priests. Do not abandon the school apostolate. Indeed, renew your commitment to schools, especially those in poorer areas. In places where there are many hollow promises.
Now, following the Pope's visit, I'd like to shine the spotlight on a foundation, the Catholic Education Foundation, a national non-profit organization formed in response to the emerging crisis facing Catholic education in the United States. It's an organization which reaches out in particular to those who cannot afford to go to Catholic schools. Lydia O'Kane spoke to the head of this foundation, Father Peter Stravinskas, who tells us more. Let's listen.
The Catholic Education Foundation was established by Mr. Joseph Indelicato of Rochester, New York, about 5 years ago. In the process, someone mentioned to him that he thought I might be interested in working and helping in some way with this organization. Joe called me and he explained the purpose of the apostolate. I was impressed by it, and he asked me to serve on the national board of the organization and eventually became the national chaplain of it, which functions I performed for about 3 years. And then, sort of out of the blue in October, Joe asked if I'd be, he said he thought that if the organization were going to take off and move the way it needs to ensure a good future, it needed a full-time executive director. And would I be interested in doing that? And so in addition to the other 5.5 hats that I wear, I said I would. And so effective January 15th, I've been doing this work of the Catholic Education Foundation.
What does the job entail and what does your work entail with the foundation?
Well, the purpose of the foundation is to raise scholarship money for students to go to Catholic high schools. And I can give myself as a good example of the rising costs, which make it prohibitive for many, many people. I went to a very small parish high school in the early 1960s. And at the time, we had 186 students in the entire school. And the tuition when I started was $150 a year. When I graduated in 1968, it was $300 a year. That same high school now, and I should note, at the time that I was there, we had 11 nuns and 4 priests and 3 or 4 lay teachers. That same high school today has almost 1,100 students and no sisters and 1 part-time priest chaplain and probably about 100 lay teachers. And the cost of the tuition now is $7,000 a year, which really puts it out of the range of so many people. I'm constantly edified by the sacrifices that Catholic parents make in the United States because, as listeners who are not from our country may not be aware, we get absolutely no government aid whatsoever for the Catholic schools. And people that I know, parents, often combined salaries of husband and wife working, maybe the wife just part-time, but the combined incomes, maybe 45 to 50% of their salary going for paying tuition for Catholic schools for their children. So it's a tremendous sacrifice. Joan Delicato's concern was the church has a lot of programs available for very poor children, and the rich don't need any kind of assistance, but it's the people stuck in the middle that don't quite qualify for anything. And so the intention of this organization is to raise funds to provide that kind of assistance.
How important is a Catholic education, do you think?
Well, it seems to me that Catholic schools in the United States in particular, but really across the board, are more important today than they were even 50 years ago. In the United States, almost 200 years ago now, we had the origins of Catholic education, which were a result of the virulent anti-Catholicism in the government schools. That has changed. There's not virulent anti-Catholicism in the government schools now. What we have is a pervasive and extremely hostile secularism. And if we're going to provide a generation of believing, practicing Catholics, they need to be imbued with the spirit of Catholicism. And that cannot be done in a one-hour-a-week religious education program. And one bishop has commented that there are many alternatives to Catholic schools, but there are no substitutes. And so it's important to make this accessible. In the United States, my experience for many, many years, I should indicate that I've spent most of my adult life in Catholic education. I've taught everything from kindergarten through graduate school. But my experience is that, first of all, although, unfortunately, only about 25% of Catholic boys in the United States now have the advantage of a Catholic high school education, we're still receiving perhaps as high as 90% of our ordinations every year are the graduates of Catholic high schools. So 25% of the population is producing 90% of the ordinations. Just leave it at that issue alone. That ought to make people sort of step back and take a second look at this. But also, in terms of lay leadership, I have been a pastor three times, and the most effective lay leaders that I could always rely on in any parish were those who had gone to Catholic schools. And then taking it out of the American context, 2 years ago, another priest and I did a seven-week giro tour of the Middle East. And every time that we found a Muslim who was either a tour guide for us or a driver or anything of that nature, who had a positive reaction to the Catholic Church, each and every one of them had been educated in the Catholic schools. So I think that the schools are extremely necessary. And it's not so much that we need to provide a list of 10 commandments and 7 sacraments. That can be done in any context. It's the attitudinal formation that's very important. And so another aspect of the Catholic Education Foundation is we provide seminars for teachers on emphasizing the Catholic identity of the Catholic schools. So it's not simply an alternative to bad government schools, but it's something that is in a holistic context within the entire Catholic frame of reference.
What is the state of Catholic education in the States at the moment when you consider that, you know, everyone is looking to falling vocations, people not going into the priesthood or the religious life? How does that affect the state of Catholic education?
Well, I mean, certainly, even 25 years ago, probably 80% of the Catholic school administrators were still clergy and religious. That has fallen to less than 10%. I have no difficulty whatsoever in Catholic schools being completely operated by lay teachers, but again, the lay teachers need proper formation. And this is something that we're intent on doing through the foundation. At the same time that the numbers of students have fallen dramatically, and part of it is certainly the financial issue. Another part is that very short-sightedly, many bishops did not build schools where the Catholic population was moving. In the United States, the Catholic population for 150 years was an urban population. Starting in the early 1960s, there was an almost mass exodus of Catholics from the urban centers to suburbia. And as I say, I believe, short-sightedly, although parishes were built there, those parishes were generally not built with schools. Now, I think many bishops are trying to regroup forces, but the problem is, even where they try now, we've raised an entire generation without a connection to Catholic schooling, and so it's that much more difficult to convince people that this really is important. But I was pleased to see, for example, that the Archdiocese of Philadelphia announced a few months ago that it's building two new high schools in suburbia, which will be open, I believe, in 2009, and they're planning for those schools to accommodate 2,000 students each. They already have very, very strong support from the people who have been living in those areas without the benefit of a Catholic high school education. And the statistics also show that in suburbia, the schools, Catholic schools, are absolutely full, and most of them with waiting lists, which means that the parents understand that although they're paying exorbitant taxes for the support of the so-called public schools, they realize those schools are not giving their children what is needed for a true formation in the faith such that they can be effective Catholic citizens and participate in our pluralistic society.
I mean, you call it a foundation, so it's for the generation coming up, but it's for future generations as well that can avail of this funding.
Right. And the idea behind it is people can make straight donations, but also we have a program called the Brother Matthias Circle. And those who are baseball fans will know the name Brother Matthias. It's from Babe Ruth, who was raised in a Catholic orphanage. And he said that if it had not been for Brother Matthias, he would have amounted to nothing. And so the Matthias Circle is a means of contributing such that, for example, if I had a teacher, religious or lay, in my high school years that was particularly formative, I will donate X amount of dollars in honor or in memory of that teacher. So Sister Stella Grace taught me sophomore English, and it changed my life tremendously, whether it was the English class or her interest in me or whatever it was. And so I name a scholarship in her honor, and I can designate a student to receive that scholarship, or if I don't know one, a school to receive it, or else it can go in the general operational fund of our foundation. And we get, as one might presume, you know, hundreds upon hundreds of applications from students who want a scholarship. What we're looking for is hundreds and hundreds of letters with checks in it so that we can fund those requests. And if people want additional information on the foundation, they can consult our website, which is CatholicEducationFoundation.com. Very clever title for and it's all one, treated as all one word, CatholicEducationFoundation.com.
How much support have you received so far? Are you pleased with the support you've received so far?
Well, I'm the new boy on the block, and I'm trying to build up grassroots support. It's been fairly localized in its point of origin, which was Rochester, New York. And I'm in the process of building, for example, a bishop's advisory board. Archbishop Worrell of Washington has been very, very supportive of the organization. In fact, he received our Lifetime Achievement Award in Catholic Education last year at our annual fundraising dinner. And so I'm putting that board together. I met with Cardinal Grochalewski from the Congregation for Catholic Education here in Rome, and he also is very supportive of what we're attempting to do. And my intent is to establish chapters of the organization around the country, so that we can do the grassroots fundraising and consciousness raising that we need to make this fly, which I think it will be important that it do that, and that it is very possible that it happen.
You've just been listening to the head of the Catholic Education Foundation in the United States, Father Peter Stravinskas, interviewed there by Lydia O'Kane. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for listening.